And welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com. Today we're talking to Mike Riley from the Axley Law Firm. Mike is a personal injury lawyer, as well as John Walsh at the Axley Firm in Madison. Mike, how are you?
I'm great, Sly. How are you doing?
Well, I remember having a conversation with you a number of years ago when in the legislature they actually increased the amount of insurance that people should have. And then the following legislature came back and changed it back. People don't have enough insurance. Why?
Well, one, because our legislature went from Democrats to Republicans, and our governor changed. And what had happened is under the Doyle administration and when the Dems were in power, they increased the minimum mandatory limits to, well, first they made it mandatory, and then they increased the limits to from 2550. And whenever we talk about two numbers, one of them is a per-person limit, which simply means that the lower limit means the most you can get for injuries to one person, medical expense, anything else related to that injury is 25. The 50 is the overall, so if there are multiple people hurt in a single accident, it can never be more than 50. What the 2550 is our current minimum. It was our former minimum. Then we went to the 100-300, which again, 100 per for each person, up to 300 for the total accident. And that number was a much more responsible, much more realistic number. You know, if you think about it, and we all know that, Sly, medical expenses have just skyrocketed. And so 25 years ago, you know, we'd get emergency room bills that were $1,000, $1,500. We get emergency bills now that get room bills that can be $25,000, you know, or more. And it's not uncommon at all now to see medical expenses, you know, in the $50,000 range, even $100,000. And so to have a liability limit, which is the limit that protects you if you injure someone else and a claim's made against you, that's only $25,000, is just inadequate. Now, you can buy more. The $25,500 is what's required.
Yeah, I have more coverage than that.
Well, everybody should. You know, you really should have a minimum of $100,000, $300,000. I think 250, 500 is a good idea, but once you get to the 100, 300 limit, then you could buy an umbrella policy. And two things happen. You know, companies charge the most money for kind of the first layer of coverage because they're figuring that, you know, if you're in an accident at all, a good share of the time, it isn't going to be that serious. So going from 2550 to 100, 300 doesn't really cost you a huge additional amount of money. And umbrella policies, which usually are $1 million or more, again, aren't really a great deal more money. And so if you have anything that you could lose, if you were in an accident and you hurt somebody else, you know, inadvertently, of course, that's why they call them accidents. But, you know, if you're found to be responsible, if all you've got is $25,500, you better not own much of anything because that's not going to cover it. So going, you know, asking an agent, and, you know, you can go to, there's all sorts of companies like American Family, you know, that General Casualty, well, General does to operate through independent agents. You know, there are companies that are direct, there are companies like Geico and Progressive, neither of which I'm a big fan of, and there's companies like State Farm, American Family, that have their own agents. There also are a lot of independent agents who sell coverages from multiple different companies. And it's often a good idea to go there and just check and find out what you could get coverage for. I suspect, although I'm still old school enough not to have looked at it, that there are websites, too, that will tell you what different companies would charge you. Because it's amazing how many differences there are. You know, we all see these ads where they say, and if you go to, you could save up to 15%. You know, if you go to Progressive, 15 minutes. Well, the truth is, people who switch from company to company do that because they're getting a better rate. So almost any time somebody switches, they're switching because they're going to pay less with another company. So, you know, the notion that one company is cheaper for everybody, it's just not true. I think you have to go to those companies. They all underwrite differently. They look at risks differently. And, you know, shop around, and you can get the right kind of coverage and enough coverage at a decent price.
Is having an agent important?
You know, it used to be much more important. I mean, I would have said years ago that it means a lot if you're American Family agent, if you had a claim and you weren't getting treated properly, you could call your agent and your agent would intercede for you. And a good share of the time, they could at least get you something. I mean, they're not going to get the company to say they're going to pay on a claim. They just don't think they owe on it all. But, you know, you'd get some form of response. In my experience, Sly, that difference has withered away almost completely. Companies really don't care what their agents have to say. You know, witness this recent lawsuit with American Family. They don't care much about their agents, and AmFam's been into it with their own agents multiple times in the last 10 or 15 years. That's why I mentioned an independent agent. I mean, an AmFam agent works for AmFam, basically, even though AmFam might like to call them independent contractors. Same thing's true of a State Farm agent and anybody else that it works for one company. If you go to an independent agent, they work with a lot of companies. Now, they have a relationship with those companies. It's not that they don't care about the companies and they just care about you. But, you know, they at least have a number of different companies available that they can write coverage with. And so they may be in a position to help you decide which company makes the most sense for you. And some of that, it's not just price. I hasten to stress that. I mean, good companies, I'd say USAA is one of the better companies out there. And there are other good companies. I'm with West Bend right now. I think that generally speaking, although I have to sue them from time to time, they're a good company. You'd like a company that at least will behave responsibly. None of them are generous. None of them are going to go out of their way to do you any favors. But the fact is there are companies that work harder for their insureds and do a better job for their insureds than others. And you know what? An independent agent has a pretty good sense of that, too, is which companies that they deal with that are the easiest to deal with. So, you know, it's something you should look into. Price makes a difference. And at the end of the day, are there drastic differences in coverage? I mean, if you buy a 100, 300 policy with one company, will the provisions of that policy be significantly different? Probably not. I mean, most companies use standard forms. They virtually all have a form that essentially says, okay, this is the way we'll treat you under Wisconsin law. So it modifies their policy if they're not a Wisconsin company to comply with Wisconsin law. But and so I don't expect that to be night to day, but there are differences between companies. Some are particularly difficult. I'm not a fan of either Geico or Progressive. Geico, to me, is worse because they don't even have people in state. Right. You're always dealing with people in Georgia. Progressive does have people in state, and I'd certainly, if my choice were between the two of them, I'd take Progressive.
When they rate these companies, usually State Farm and Liberty Mutual do better than some of the others.
Yeah, my experience with both of them is pretty positive. True, I think, of a lot of things. State Farm in Wisconsin, I have found to be a really decent company. State Farm in Illinois is an absolute nightmare.
Really? That big a difference?
It's huge. I mean, that is night and day. You know,
that's funny because that's their home state.
It is their home state, and you think they'd behave better. But I remember speaking to all the chief execs from the insurance companies, you know, 20 years ago and talked to them about issues. And one of the things I pointed out is the Wisconsin companies did better in Wisconsin by like 10 to 15 points. They were more profitable here than anywhere else. And so I said, so why are you trying to change the laws here to take away coverage when you make a lot more money here than you do, you know, nationwide?
Right.
And so there isn't necessarily a whole lot of logic to it. But, you know, I think generally speaking here, they're fine. I think Liberty's generally a good company. Like I said, I think USAA is a good company. I think West Bend is a company I would prefer to a lot of others. None of them, you know, there aren't any of them that are in the habit of giving away money. I can tell you that.
That is for sure. Mike Riley with us at the Axley Law Firm. We're talking a little bit about having proper coverage and an umbrella policy. Are umbrella policies expensive?
They're not terribly expensive, Sly. You know, I think obviously they vary. But, I mean, for $1 million in coverage, you're usually paying a few hundred dollars. And, again, if you don't need that, if you've got a, you know, if you don't have a lot of personal assets, if there's nothing anybody's going to be able to get from you, it's perhaps a lesser concern, although you'd like to think people would be responsible enough to say, gosh, if I do, something bad does happen, I hope, you know, I'd like to see that people get taken care of. But you should, you know, again, talk to your agent about it, whether it's, you know, your own agent. You can also buy an umbrella policy from a different company sometimes. Some companies won't do that, but others will sell you a separate umbrella. The bottom line is there are a couple things you want to be sure of. And first, and we'll get to the under. Let me talk about underinsured first and an umbrella. One thing that a lot of umbrella policies don't do is include coverage for an underinsured motorist. And underinsured motorist coverage is coverage that pays you if someone hits you and they've got $25,000, $50,000 and you've got $300,000 in damages, you're not going to get more than the $25,000 from them. But then you, if you have your own underinsured motorist coverage first on your primary policy, you should make sure your agent gives that to you and that they give you enough. Agents often write less coverage for underinsured than they do for liability, which makes no sense at all. Underinsured coverage is far less expensive than liability, and it's protecting you. I mean, so is liability coverage in a sense, but underinsured is going to pay you if you're injured and whoever hurts you doesn't have enough coverage. If you can get that included on your umbrella, because then that'll give you the million or whatever you have on your umbrella. And while injuries that are that serious don't happen commonly, they do happen, and we see them on a fairly regular basis. And when they do, it's awful. I mean, it just means that somebody's life has really been turned upside down. And in that situation, you know, while insurance coverage never puts you back where you were, that's what the law says we do, we never do. We can never make up for a really, really serious injury. But money helps. Let's face it, if you can't work, if you've got bills, if you've got all those things, having more money rather than less money makes a real difference in your life.
Now, there are some people driving around still, even though it's against the law, that have no insurance.
Yes, there are, and we see, I mean, I've got probably 8 or 9 of those claims right now. And uninsured motorist coverage, unlike underinsured, is mandatory. So you have to have uninsured motorist coverage. They have to offer you underinsured, but you can turn it down. You shouldn't. You should make sure you have it. But uninsured coverage, again, make sure that your limits are adequate. One thing that I think has happened, Sly, is some years back, and I guess going back 8 or 9 years ago, if you had more than one vehicle, you could combine the coverages from 2 or 3 vehicles. It used to be called stacking. And so that made a real difference. You couldn't do it for liability, but you could for uninsured and underinsured. So if you had 100, 300 policy, you really had, if you had 3 vehicles, 300, 900. Well, that hasn't been true now for a number of years. And so you need to be sure that that number on your uninsured is at least as high as your liability limit. And, you know, again, you have to think about it, but you may want it to be higher because that's the money you're going to get if you're injured by somebody who's not insured.
Mike Riley with us. We're talking a little bit about insurance. Obviously, accidents are part of life. Negligence on others' part is a big part of life. What do you do if you're injured in an accident? And I don't just mean a car accident. You know, slipping and falling at a department store or, you know, even in a workplace where somebody is negligent. So car accident, motorcycle accident, someone else's negligence. A lot of people settle right away with insurance companies.
Yeah, it's a mistake almost always. What happens frequently is you're in an accident. I mean, if you're horribly injured, you're not likely going to just settle with them. But often people are injured, and the most common injuries we see are neck and back injuries. Those come from auto accidents principally, but they can also be, you know, injuries from slip and falling. And those things, often people, they fall, they're hurt, doesn't seem that bad. They think, well, you know, this will go away, I'll be okay. And natural thought process. And the companies often will kind of swoop in and take advantage of that and say, hey, you know, we'll pay your bills and we'll give you $1,500 or $2,500 or whatever it is. And, you know, of course, if you really were better in a week, that might be fine, or maybe even 2 weeks. But the truth is you don't know at the outset, and you should never settle a claim until you know that you are completely back to where you were before the accident. And one of the things I've seen happen, and people come to me every year and have over the years, is people will come and say, well, I thought I was going to be better, and that's what I assumed, so I settled, but now I'm really not, and what can you do? And the answer is probably nothing. If you sign a release and accept the money, that release is almost certainly going to be binding. And all releases have language that says, you know, even if it turns out to be much worse, you know, than you thought it was. I mean, if your right leg actually falls off instead of being an ankle sprain, you know, it doesn't matter. You still, once you sign, you sign, you take the money, and you're done. So, you know, you never should agree to sign something until you're absolutely certain you know where you're going to be long term. The other thing that I think is really important is that when you have an injury, I mean, you talked about a slip and fall in a department store. If you have an injury that's, you know, on a premise like that, wherever you might be, make sure you report it to someone right away. tell them about it, make sure they make a note of it. Again, sometimes people fall and you don't have a bone sticking out of your arm or something, and you say, well, this isn't a big deal. I mean, look, if you fall and, you know, you bump yourself, but you know you're fine, that's one thing. But if you fall and suffer anything that feels like it might be a problem, then you should report that and let them know. For one thing, you know, hopefully you'll save someone else. If it's a condition they can fix, then, you know, hopefully nobody else will have that problem. But it's always good to give people notice right away. In auto accidents, obviously, people are aware generally right away whether someone's hurt. Although, you'd be surprised how many police reports we get where they say no apparent injury when somebody is clearly injured, and we see a lot of that. So if you're involved in any in a car accident, because those are the most common kind, I mean, make sure you get the insurance information from the other person. I would get in touch with their insurance company early on. If it turns out that you have an injury that you're going to need medical treatment for, let the insurance company know about that early on. The other thing that's really important is make sure people often go to an emergency room, they get the same kind of advice a lot. Well, you know, take two aspirin. I'm exaggerating, obviously, but they are told frequently, well, you know, this doesn't look too bad. Nothing, the x-rays are negative. People here, sometimes they'll even do an MRI or a CAT scan. They're always negative. I mean, 95% of the time they're negative. It doesn't mean a lot. Most injuries are soft tissue. They're not the bony structures. I mean, some are clearly, but most are not. And so the fact that you go in and somebody takes an x-ray and says, well, your neck looks okay, really doesn't mean much, because most of my clients' necks looked okay. Doesn't mean they were okay, because they've got damage to ligaments, tendons, muscles that can be, in a lot of ways, worse than having a fracture. So they're told frequently, well, you know, see how you're doing, and then go see your doctor in a few weeks. If you're fine the next day, or wait a couple days to see if you feel okay, fine. If you're not, you should go to a doctor, whatever doctor, chiropractor, whatever form of treatment you choose. You should do it early, one, because treatment early on means a lot more than treatment later. If you wait 2 or 3 months to get treatment for these things, the treatment will be much less likely to be effective than if you got it, you know, within a week of the accident. The other thing is, insurance companies are always going to say, well, it couldn't have been very bad. He went to the emergency room and they didn't see anybody for a month. And I've heard that, you know, several million times in my life. So it's important, first, for your health, which is always the most important thing. But second, in order to deal effectively with the insurance company, you need to have injuries documented. And when people do go and see a treater, whatever kind of treater they choose to see, it's really important. People aren't complainers. Everybody, you know, the insurance companies always talk like everyone's a malingerer or a fake and exaggerates. It's exactly the opposite. Most people understate their symptoms. I'd never tell anybody to exaggerate. I don't want my clients to do that, but I do want them to be real direct about how they're doing. And as treatment goes on, one of the problems we see is we're polite people. And so you go in and you see your physical therapist, for instance, and they say, well, how are you doing? And people say, better. You know, and that gets written down sometimes as if you meant all better or nearly completely better. And so it's just important that when you're treating for an injury, that you're just very direct with who's ever treating you about how you're doing. If you're improved, say that, but say, I'm improved, but, you know, and explain where things are. So those things are things that I see that are important.
These are all really important things. What about if you're in an accident? So say you're on a motorcycle and somebody hits you on that motorcycle. Sometimes you just go by the police report. Sometimes there's a dispute over who's at fault. What do you do in those cases, and when do you call a personal injury lawyer?
Sure, and, you know, that's a great point. First of all, you know, the police, if Madison's a classic example. I mean, Madison's town, when I was growing up and you were growing up in Sirius Lake, you know, I mean, they had gunshots every, you know, month, maybe once a month there'd be a gunshot of some kind. Now it's daily. And so what that means is the police don't have the time to spend investigating accidents. They used to do a better job than they do now.
Let me correct you. That would be hourly.
I'm sure you're right. I know one of my clients who's police officers told me that, and he said, you know, then they get there and didn't hear anything, didn't see anything, even though they can pinpoint it, you know, with that little device they have. But anyway, I mean, the bottom line is policemen just now are pretty challenged with a lot of things. People like the State Patrol do a better job, but generally speaking, they don't spend a lot of time. And, you know, if they're not there when it happens, so they get to the scene. You know, look, if somebody creamed you from behind, it's not usually an issue. But if you're at an intersection, we see this all the time. I just settled a case where the other driver said, no, I had the green light. My guy had a green arrow. And we were able to, you know, persuade the people that that's what had happened in the end, that my guy did have the green arrow. But those things need to be investigated. And with that kind of dispute particularly, it's important to get a lawyer involved early because witnesses need to be contacted and interviewed. You know, you can look at site plans for the intersection, light seats. There are a lot of things that you can do to kind of sort those things out. So it's always important, you know, to make sure that early on you do what you do to preserve a claim. I'm not someone who believes that every time, you know, you get bumped from behind, you need to call a lawyer the first thing. But I do think this, if you have something that is not just very temporary, that's not a matter of a few days or a week or two, and then you're fine and you're back to where you were, I think those things, it's worth talking to the company. You should always know their first offer is never going to be their best offer. They always like to say it doesn't make any difference. It makes a huge difference when you're talking to a lawyer. Now, look, if you've got a $2,500, $3,500 claim, is hiring a lawyer going to make a lot of sense? Probably not. But if you've got a claim where you've got, you know, $5,000 or more in medical bills, if you've got a permanent injury or something at least that is stuck with you, you know, I think at that point it's worth talking to a lawyer. You know, most personal injury lawyers will talk to you. I talk to people all the time, and I give them advice, and I say, I don't think you need to hire me right now, but here's what I would do. Here's what I tell these people. And more often than not, that ends up with the case getting resolved without needing to get me involved. If you are going to need a lawyer as this goes on, though, it's much better to have him involved earlier rather than later. And again, sitting down and talking to a lawyer about an injury shouldn't cost you anything. Any good personal injury lawyer should do that for free. And, you know, just give you some quick advice if that's all that's needed. And if not, you know, talk to you about what they can do to help and how they'll do that and all the rest of those things. So I think any significant injury that's going to cause you problems long term, you certainly should get involved with a lawyer. Whatever the companies would like to tell you, the simple fact is, we get more money than you're going to get on your own. And I mean more money in your pocket, because obviously you're going to pay a fee. And the real question is, are you going to be better off net at the end of the day? And I always tell my clients, I wouldn't take the case if I didn't believe I could do that for you.
That's right. And you don't get paid unless you get something from the insurance company or the other person.
Absolutely. Personal injury lawyers work on what we call a contingent fee, which is just a percentage fee. And it means we get a percent of the recovery. And then, you know, the client gets the rest other than medical expenses that need to get paid back. And those are the other reasons to have a lawyer, Sly. You know, it's just during the process. I mean, you get bills. How are those going to get paid? You know, we do a lot of that for our clients. I mean, we contact the insurance company. We determine whether health insurance is better, and it usually is. Even if you have medical payments coverage on your car, it's usually best to go first to your own health insurer, and then, you know, if there's medical payments coverage, use that to kind of pick up the difference between what they may pay and, you know, what you end up out of pocket. And then when it comes time to settle, that's another part of what the injury lawyer does. He negotiates with the people who have paid bills. They have what are called subrogation rights, which simply means they have a right, if they've paid money because of an injury, to ask for that money back. We negotiate with them, and we always get a discount. Always, I shouldn't say that, but most often there can be wrinkles where it's a problem. But almost invariably, we do get a significant discount. And so at the end of the day, that money goes into the client's pocket instead of going into another insurance company's pocket. So for all those reasons, a good lawyer should help you a lot during the process. It shouldn't be just a matter of taking your case and then at the end saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. You know, we'll settle this. And, you know, here's your share of it. That also just reminds me, I mean, communication is really important, and you should get a lawyer. If lawyers aren't communicating with you, aren't getting back to you to answer your questions, that should raise real concerns. I mean, lawyers are busy. They aren't going to be able to talk to you that day all the time. But we make a real effort, certainly, to let our clients know they can get in touch with me whenever they need to. They can talk to my paralegal. We respond to their requests, and we try to make sure that our clients are kept abreast of what's going on in their case. Because at the end of the day, it is their case. It's not mine.
And there's no substitute for experience when it comes to personal injury lawyers.
There is. You're absolutely right. There's no substitute for personal involvement. I mean, you mentioned John Walsh, my partner, and myself, and we take great pride in that, that we are personally involved in our clients' cases. There are other really good firms that do that. There are firms, you know, that spend a great deal of money on advertising and not very much on working with their clients. So, you know, I think it is really critical that you find a firm that you're comfortable with. The first thing to me is, you know, if a firm, if you can't even meet with a lawyer and talk with a lawyer and get some advice, I mean, if all you're doing is talking to some investigator, that really ought to give you a lot of pause about how much attention you're going to get as this case goes forward.
Your phone number, Mike?
Phone number is 608-698-1595. That's my cell phone. Our office phone is 608-257-5661.
Mike Riley from the Axley Law Firm, thanks for coming on with us today.
Thanks, Sly. It's always a pleasure.
Sly'sOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, five more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.